We're in a summer series that's based out of Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. This past week, I was talking to a friend of mine who has actually run the Boston Marathon. His name's Stan, and he's crazy in the head. He just runs and runs and runs, loves to run, and loves to exercise, and we serve on Dexcom together, and he's an administrative pastor down in Calgary at First Alliance. And I asked him something about the running thing that he had done when he had flown to some of these things. And he said, well, you know, sometimes you go to marathons and there's not a big crowd of people. But he said, that one is stunning for the number of people. He said, it's absolutely incredible that the crowds and crowds and crowds of people cheering for people running and involved and around. And he said, you just can always get encouragement from them. I thought, isn't that interesting that we're in this summer series kind of called Out of the Stands? And in Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And the therefore means you should look back, because every time it says therefore, he's just made a point and now he's applying it. And so you look back into Hebrews 11 and you find out that it's the hall of faith. And that there's this great list of people who by faith God used to do incredible things. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And I said, three things that we need to remember out of this simple passage. Consider them, the great cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before. Their stories are recorded for us. We're to learn from them. Consider him, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, that place where to fix our eyes, the prize, the goal, and continue on. I love what it says, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Because I know that I grow weary and lose heart. And so, this summer we've started saying, let's imagine that it's our turn on the track and we're running, and some of the heroes of the faith could come down and do a lap with us. Some of those people that the Bible tells us their story could come down. What would they say if they only had one lap? And what would they tell us that would cause us to continue on? Not to lose heart, not to grow weary, to throw off things we don't need. How would they encourage us to fix our eyes on Jesus and run the race? Well, we've had some different people come to join us. And this morning, we're having a lady by the name of Rebecca work her way down out of the stands to do a lap with us. Now, some of you, your brains are going, Rebecca, I know that name. She was chosen to be the wife of Isaac. And we're going to read this story. It's a great story, but she was chosen by Isaac's dad's servant. And so he said, you know, my boy needs a wife. Off you go and find one. Here's a few criteria. And he finds Rebecca and brings her back. The Bible tells us she was a beautiful girl with a great attitude, very hardworking, as we'll discover from the story. And as we think about her life, we know she had twin boys, Jacob and Esau. And many of you know the story of Jacob and Esau, and that mom was very involved in that story. Yeah, that's the Rebecca we're talking about. And we find her story in Genesis 24 through 28. I'm just going to read some of the story for you. It's a bigger passage. Sit back, relax, or follow along and hear the story as it unfolds in Scripture. Now, Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his house, who had charge of all that he had, "Put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live, but will go to my country and to my kindred, and get a wife for my son Isaac." The servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land." Then, must I then take your son back to the land from which you came? Abraham said to him, see to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from my land of birth, and who spoke to me and swore to me, to your offspring I will give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning the matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all kinds of choice gifts from his master. And he set out and went to Aram-Naharim, to the city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water. It was towards evening, the time when women go out to draw water, and he said this, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. I'm standing here by the spring of water, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. Let the girl to whom I say, please offer your jar that I may drink, and who shall say, drink and I will water your camels, let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master. Before he had finished speaking, there was Rebekah, who was born to Bethel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, coming out with her water jar on her shoulder. The girl was very fair to look upon, a virgin whom no man had known. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me sip a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw for your camels also until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. The man gazed at her in silence to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold nose ring weighing half shekel and 2 bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold shekels and said, tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night? She said to him, I am the daughter of Bethel, son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. She added, we have plenty of straw and fodder and a place for you to spend the night. The man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord and said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and faithfulness towards my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the way to the house of my master's kin. Then the girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to meet the man to the spring. As soon as he had seen the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms, when he'd heard the words of his sister Rebekah, thus the man spoke to me. He went to the man, and there he was, standing by the camels at the spring. He said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside when I have prepared the house and a place for the camels? So the man came into the house, and Laban unloaded the camels and gave him straw and fodder for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Then the food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. He said, speak on. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, and he has become wealthy and has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female slaves, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my wife's master, bore a son to my master when she was old, and he has given him all that he has. My master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live. But you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, and get a wife for my son. I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and will make your way successful. You shall get a wife for my son from my kindred and from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my kindred. Even if they will not give her to you, you will be free from my oath. I came today to the spring and said, O Lord, the God of my master Abram, if now you will only make successful the way I am going, I'm standing here by the spring of water. Let the young woman who comes out to draw, to whom I shall say, please give me a little drink from your jar, or a little water from your jar to drink. And who will say to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for your master's son. Before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her water on her water jar on her shoulder. And she went down to the spring and drew, and I said to her, please let me drink. She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will also water your camels. So I drank, and she also watered my camels. Now I know that's a long passage and a long piece of history, but the story is quite fascinating. There's things we just don't want to miss. And as we recall the story and we're reminded of who Rebekah is, she comes down out of the stands and slides on beside us and falls into pace. And the very first thing she would say to us is, never forget to serve others with a smile. My whole life was changed when I simply was a servant. You see, there's two ways that people serve. They serve out of obligation because you have to. And how many of you have been to a store or to a business or to a place and been served by somebody who obviously didn't really want to help you, but had to help you? Come on, you can relate to that. There's two ways to serve. You can be obligated. You know, as a kid, I used to worry about committing my life to God because of what I'd be obligated to, that I wouldn't want to serve Him, that I wouldn't want to do the things that He asked of me. And there's two ways to serve, with obligation or with opportunity, because you get to. Now, think of that same store and think of a time when you were in there and somebody came up with a smile on their face and they were glad to see you there and they wanted to help you. As Rebekah slides in beside you, she says, serve others with a smile. You see, how you see giving to others and serving others matters to the outcome. It matters. Your attitude makes a difference. And my whole life was changed because I was willing to serve others with a smile. Now, if you don't know, let me tell you, I did a little research here. It says early in the passage that Abraham's servant took 10 camels, right? And so I went then and I started looking around, how much water would a camel drink after a day? And the nearest I can tell is there's 20 gallons of water that a camel would drink when they water the camels. And so if you do the math, and they were getting a full drink, and there was 10 camels, and they took 20 gallons each, it would be 200 gallons of water, which means if she had a 5-gallon jar or jug that she was going to the well with, it was 40 trips from the well to the trough. It was no small thing to offer to feed, or not to, to give the camels a drink. It was a lot of work. It was something that she did willingly. And she was noticed for her attitude and service. You find the Bible telling us that the servants asked of God that this would happen. It was highly improbable that it would. When it did, he sat and waited till she was done before he said anything. And so completing the task mattered. Serve others with a smile. Secondly, as you round turn two and you come into the back straight and you're running along beside Rebekah, she would say to you, see the extraordinary after the ordinary, not before. You see, it tells us in verse 21 that the servant watched her without saying a word. The man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. And it wasn't until she completed the task that he came out with the jewelry and asked if he could stay. And it started to unfold that God was at work and something was happening. As an aside that has nothing to do with my message and I hope isn't too big a rabbit trail, I had a friend, another pastor, tell me that his daughter pulled this out and she wanted to get one of those nose rings, one of those nose piercings. And she said because Rebekah got a nose ring, she should be able to. As a servant of God realized that God was doing something, I want you to see that she completed the ordinary task before she learned the extraordinary circumstances. Often the completion of a task is necessary before you understand why God has asked you to do it. You see, after the work is done, the story is revealed. It's only then that he begins to tell the story of how he prayed. And he said, God, would you make these things happen that I know you're at work here and that they happened. And if Rebecca hadn't been serving with a smile and willing to do in the ordinary, she'd have never known that God was up to something absolutely extraordinary. See the extraordinary after you're faithful in the ordinary. And thirdly, she'd say, step with confidence when God is revealed. If you read on in the story, in verse 55, the family says to the servant, let the girl remain with us 10 days or so, then you may go. And then they said, let us call the girl and ask her about it. So they called Rebecca and asked her, will you go with this man? I will go, she said. Once she understood that her simple actions had been an answer to prayer, and that this had been something God was involved in, she was willing to step with confidence. Now, many of you, as you think about this story, remember that Abraham left his family and left everything and went to a land God promised him. Abraham had a covenant with God, and they had quite a journey. And if you've never read the story, I encourage you to get your Bible out and follow it through. It's an amazing experience. And he wins some and he loses some. And as Abraham comes to the end of his life, he's in the land that God promised for he and his offspring. And it's important. But she's saying that she'll leave family, that she'll leave culture, that she'll leave what she knows to be comfortable, and the friends that she has for an unknown new land with a new husband. And get this, that she hasn't yet met. Now, ladies, if the guys aren't looking, how many of you would do that? You haven't even seen the guy. And you're only told he's rich, and you don't know what the living conditions are, and you've never been to the land, and you got no friends there. And yet, when the story of God unfolds, we see her saying, I will go. You see, it's only possible to step with confidence when you know that God's hand is in the events. And you can begin to trust him with the future. Well, we're coming around and she smiles at you. She said, here's the gate. I want you to think about these things. Remember, serve others with a smile. Your attitude matters. Look at it as an opportunity to get to bless somebody, not to have to. See the extraordinary after the ordinary. See things through. Do the daily things that God asks you to do. When you go to serve somebody, do it with everything you have, and God will let you know why afterwards. And step with confidence when you see God. My whole life was changed because I followed his leading. Well, here's the gate, and she looks at you and says, oh, by the way, don't foster division in your family. You'll regret it forever. And if you wonder what that's about, just read the story of Jacob and Esau. And so she's gone. Well, you run on and you want to ponder this, so you ask yourself the million-dollar question.
So what?
So what? How does this help me fix my eyes? How does it help me not pick up things that hinder my running? How does it help me not grow weary and lose heart? Well, when we serve others with a smile, we remember something. Philippians chapter 2 says, let this attitude be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but humbled himself. Taking on the form of a man, becoming obedient even unto death on a cross. And it says, don't serve others because you have to or because you're obligated or because the church put a guilt trip on you. But serve and love people because you get to. Because you experience God's love that way. And you get to pass that on to others. And if your attitude is one that doesn't include generosity and doesn't include a willingness to serve and doesn't include a want to bless others, perhaps the very first thing you need to do is adjust your attitude, because you're going to pretty quickly grow weary and lose heart and not want to run this race anymore if you have to and you don't understand that you get to. Do you give and serve others out of opportunity or out of obligation? You see, the attitude matters, and it will reveal to those who are watching you Christ in you. The Bible says, I can do all of these great things. I can speak well, I can sing well, I can do this, I can do that. And if you have not love, you are a what? A clanging gong and a banging cymbal. It's noise. When you serve others with a smile, you begin to understand that God humbled himself for you, and that the opportunities you have to reflect Jesus to others are amazing. Yeah, the first so what is to check your attitude. Secondly, she told us to see the extraordinary after the ordinary. How many of you are like me where you really like to know how this is going to end up before you invest in it? Yeah, that's me. I want to know if this is going to pay off, right? I don't want to know that I did something and then it's just going to be taken and abused. Or I don't want to know. I want to know how it's going to work. And so if God's asked me to do something, I really do want to see the end game. And yet, we learn from this that it was only after she watered the camels and offered the drink with a smile that she found out God was amazingly at work. Are you completing the ordinary tasks in serving and giving? Are you just simply looking for the people who cross your path today that need a smile, that need a hand? You know, when you pull up to the gas station and some guy comes roaring in, obviously in an amazing hurry, and he cuts you off and sneaks into the pump ahead of you. Are you going to be grieved in the spirit and give him a piece of your mind? Or are you going to smile and wave and say, go ahead? When we complete the ordinary tasks of serving and giving to others, all of a sudden, we begin to discover the extraordinary hand of God using the simple things. A number of years ago, my dad turned 60. So it was a lot of years ago, I guess. And we put together a book for him. We were wondering what to do for him. We got him a gift, too, but the book was the exciting thing. We contacted friends from school, people from churches he'd pastored in, and we had them send us emails, letters. And we put together a book, and because of my dad's driving is world-renowned, we called it, Dennis, You Made a Dent in Our Lives. And it talked of the impact. As the stories came in and we read them, I think I got more out of it than anyone else. Putting the book together was an incredibly meaningful experience for me. And I began to discover that it was the ordinary moments that God used to do the extraordinary in people's lives. There was very few people that said, you know, you did this big thing, or you did this ministry event that just was so incredible, or you did... All of the stories were about personal relationship and about little things. I remember when my combine broke and I was behind and the weather was turning and you arrived in the field with your coveralls on. And we worked till 2 in the morning and we finished it before the rain came. That made a difference. I remember when you just kind of sensed we were having a hard time and you took me out for coffee and we talked about my daughter who was going sideways. I remember when my dad died. He'd been sick for a long time. And you drove a whole bunch of miles and just showed up at the funeral. That meant everything. You see, the extraordinary hand of God often works through the ordinary actions of people loving each other. and we learn from Rebecca, it makes a difference. When you see God's hand in circumstances, remember, praise Him for it. So check your attitude, serve others with a smile. Be faithful in the ordinary, and you'll probably see the extraordinary. And when you see God at work, step with confidence. You know, I don't know if I'd have the courage to step into an arranged marriage miles away like she did. But I do know that she was used in the plan of God, and that His promise to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob involved this young lady. You see, you may be asked to do big, scary things for God, and all of a sudden an opportunity may come your way that's a step of faith, and you don't know what the outcome's going to look like. You may be asked to trust the faithfulness of God, to lean on His promises. But when you do, you need to step with confidence, because God never lets you down. And you need to mark extraordinary steps in faith and drive in signposts that remind you, this is why I made that decision. Because when life gets hard a little ways down, you need to look back and remember that God's at work and asking something big of you. What do we learn from Rebecca? We learn to check our attitude, to serve others with a smile. We learn to be faithful in the little things, because God often uses them to do big things. And we learn that when we see God at work, we need to take big, scary steps forward and trust that God will complete what He started. Amen?